Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we'd like to welcome you in this morning to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Joining me in the studio this morning, Rippin' Richie Williams, has been his Friday habit. He's so addicted to this show, he can't wait to get here every Friday morning.
Yeah, whatever.
Yeah, sure. Just act like so nonchalant, like it's not that big a deal. We know it is. It's the highlight of his week. At any rate, the weather today, and he was here. You were here on Monday when we did our Memorial of Villainy. That was an important day.
It's twice in 1 week.
That's right. That's a lot. That's really, you know, feeding the addiction. But that was a great time to talk about the villains. We're going to talk about a few more villains again today, or a little bit more about the villains, I should say. If you're getting ready to go to work, you should know that it's cloudy outside, 61 degrees, and going to get up to a high of about 73 degrees today. And we should have some rain and thunderstorms, 80% chance of that occurring here in the upstate. So be prepared for the wet weather as you make your way out today. We've got a bunch of stories here that I thought we'd run through. Just a couple headlines. Yesterday I ran through the headlines rather quickly. I thought it might be somewhat interesting just to mention what Fox News is all about, and I might do that real quickly here, then we'll see what Richie's got for us. North Korea calls Cheney a bloodthirsty beast. Now, is Cheney really a bloodthirsty beast? Yeah, I think he probably is, but I don't know.
I wish he was.
Yeah. Okay, anyway, Seoul, South Korea. North Korea called Vice President Dick Cheney a bloodthirsty beast and said Tuesday his recent remarks labeling ruler Kim Jong-un irresponsible are another reason for it to stay away from the six-nation nuclear disarmament talk. So, anyway, just Cheney has a new title. We'll try to remember that, the bloodthirsty beast. In addition to that, we have some other things happening in the news. For instance, there are car bombs, believe it or not, in Iraq. Yes, and some more killings over there. It seems like every day our average seems to be up a little bit. Yesterday there were 38 killed over there. Baghdad insurgents killed 38 people in a series of rapid-fire attacks Thursday, including three homicide car bombings within an hour and a drive-by shooting at busy Baghdad's market that ratcheted up the bloody campaign to undermine Iraq's government. So
yep.
There you go, man.
The religion of peace strikes again.
Yes, exactly. Well, I think it has something to do with us being there, too. But anyway,
it does not.
Yeah, they would have happened.
They got their own government now. They're still throwing a temper tantrum.
Is it really their own government?
We should have stomped them good.
I thought they were having elections.
We're being too nice, not too mean.
September or so, wasn't it?
They got their own dadgum government. They got no reason, but they're just sick cultists. That's all it is.
Okay. Buy American.
Should have nuked them in the first place. I'd have shut them up.
Oh, my. Buy American provisions return for more congressional debate. Washington, not only should consumers know their patriotism by buying products made in the USA, but the federal government's defense and homeland security agents should, too. Some lawmakers hoping to force compliance through legislation. So here we have a move in government to force these guys to buy stuff, and but opponents are not happy. They say the requirement would hamper U.S. agencies from acquiring the best parts possible at the best rates. In addition, American companies simply can't supply all that's needed to the nation's defense system, according to critics. You know, this is an interesting question. When Russia went down, or the Soviet Union, why didn't we go on the world market and buy, 80 MiGs versus one aircraft carrier? Aren't 80 MiGs worth something? Maybe they're worth even more. I don't know. And we could retrofit them and stuff. Can't do that according to the law. You have to, or the legislation, you've got to buy American already. But there are some things which Homeland Security comparatively could buy from overseas. And what guns are made overseas? Like, aren't Glocks not an American gun?
Let's see, Uzis, I guess, are made overseas, and
H&Ks are, I think.
Yeah, no, there's some Chinese rifle that ends up in the hands of all the African dictators in there.
Yeah, could be. They're cheaper made over there. Well, at any rate, that's an interesting thing to think about. Why do we have to have requirements to buy American if you're if you're in the government, Homeland Security or otherwise. There's also, finally, another very interesting news story today. A $2 million settlement has been reached in the Marshmallow Death case, Chicago, of all places. The family of a sixth grader, sixth graders are how old? They're about 12, right?
Yeah,
no,
I think
10?
So. No, it's going to be around 12.
10, okay, 12. A family of a sixth grader who choked to death on marshmallows while playing a classroom game settled their lawsuit with the suburban school district for $2 million Thursday as the trial was in its second week. The judge dismissed the jurors after attorneys announced the deal. The parents of a 12-year-old Catherine Casey Fish had been asking, that's an odd name, had been asking for unspecified damages. The case was never about money, the family's attorney, oh no, Patrick Murphy said outside court. The case has been about getting the message across to America that dangerous games should not be played in school with or without supervision.
What was this game?
Well, we don't know exactly here. Let's see if it says a little bit later on in this. I didn't read the bottom of the story. Maybe they actually give you the details.
The kid died from marshmallows?
Yeah, that's what it says.
Nobody there could do the Heimlich maneuver or anything?
You'd think the marshmallow would, like, you know, go down. It's not like it's a real hard, you know, well, I don't know.
Well, I imagine if you stuff your whole mouth with them and try to shove them down at one time, that could be rough.
Yeah, it just doesn't, you know.
Obviously.
Here it is. Okay, here's something about it. Casey's parents had argued that Glenview School District Number 34 and teacher Kevin Dorkin were responsible for the girls' No, you're snickering over there. This fish getting beaten up by the Dorkin. Okay. We're responsible for the girl's death because Dorkin, who had been supervising the game, was out of the room when the children started stuffing marshmallows in their mouths, seeing you can hold the most and still say the words, chubby bunny. So that's it.
You know, I've heard of that, but I thought it was with crackers.
Well, apparently they play with marshmallows in Chicago.
Huh.
So this, unfortunately, but, this terribly, this 12-year-old person died in a public school.
But, and they're suing the school?
Yeah.
But was it a school-sanctioned activity? It said that he was out of the room when they were doing that.
Yeah, he must have been in the school, and he must have left his post. They didn't train him well when he was in college to do the chubby, was it chubby bubby?
Chubby bunny. Chubby. So I don't know. Was this something he was encouraging, or he just stepped out of the room and they started doing this crazy stuff?
Well, they didn't really tell us in the story.
Those kids these days.
It's terrible what happens in public schools. Isn't it? Now you send your kids there and they're going to get killed by marshmallows.
I don't know. I guess they have to ban marshmallows too now, along with the fingernail clippers and aspirin.
Yeah, they could. And what was the other? Midol is the other thing they've been getting rid of. And somebody brought a butter knife to school one day to cut the birthday cake.
Well, I've got in trouble
because
of the zero tolerance thing.
Right. Yeah, he was suspended. Best thing that ever happened to him. We're appreciative of that. At least he can get out. There's one way you can get your kids out of public school. Send them to school with butter knives.
Yeah, might be a good idea. I carried weapons to school when I was a teenager.
I would carry a weapon if I were going to a public school. Why not?
I usually carried those compactable nunchucks.
Okay.
They're kind of like you know what nunchucks are?
Yeah.
Or nunchakas. Yeah. These had the each stick would compact down three times. It's like telescopic.
Oh yeah.
So I carried those to school along with some throwing stars.
What are throwing stars?
That was the little shurikens, the little stars you could throw and they stick in
people's necks and things like that.
Well, I mean, I never actually used them, but it's nice to have them with. But I actually never used the nunchucks either, which is good. But I got busted one time. I was suspended because actually, when my nunchucks fell, a chain came off of them. I still carried them, just the sticks, and I got busted with those. They suspended me, and then they decided they were going to change it to detention, and I said no. I was promised that I'd be suspended. I demand to be suspended.
That's right.
Yeah. So they did follow through with it.
That's
and
good.
I was suspended. So it was one
for nunchucks.
One day less. Well, at that point, the chain was gone. So they were just sticks. But that was one day less. So, I definitely. I mean, there's so many bratty kids in there, and I never would have bothered anybody else. I mean, I've never started a fight in my life. For me, it was just to protect myself.
Yeah.
Because there's all these, I mean, high school is brutal.
Where did you go to high school?
This was at Wade Hampton.
Oh, and here in South Carolina?
Yeah, yeah.
There were brutal people there too, huh?
I mean,
even in our own backyard?
You had the preppies, and then you had the rednecks, and you had a lot of idiots that want to start a fight for no reason. You know, I mean, I would never bother anybody for no reason. I was just thinking about defending myself.
Yeah. Well, that takes a lot of skill to be able to defend yourself with nunchucks or sticks or chains or whatever. I would just, you know, pack like a 357 or something.
I didn't have access to a gun.
Though. Really? You couldn't just go down and get one somewhere? You know, they sell them.
I probably could have. I never fought.
There's one for sale right now in the Times Examiner. I think it's in this week's edition of the Times Examiner. $350 or so. You could pick that up. And I mean, I had a friend who went to school in Oakland. And that's a pretty dangerous area. A lot of black gangs and other gangs up there fighting with each other. And his dad was a cop. And this is, of course, back in the 60s and the early 70s he was there. And his dad just gave him a firearm. He said, you know, you're going to get accosted by these people at some point. I want you to be able to kill them when they start to kill you. And so he just concealed the weapon and carried it with him. And one day, sure enough, they cornered him, started shoving him back into a phone booth, and we were about to stab him, and he pulled out the gun. Apparently didn't have to kill him. They ran away. But
they didn't have to kill him? That's too bad.
Yeah. It would have been better if he could at least, you know, be able to shoot him. But,
oh, you know, it's so terrible that he carried a gun, though, because, of course, if he hadn't, he'd be dead now. But it's still so terrible.
Yeah. Well, I tell you what, I would be carrying a gun if I were in a public school. What a crime zone that thing is.
Yeah, no way I'd let my kid go to public school without having a gun with him.
Hmm. We are far, far to the right. Somebody asked me the other day, just how far right are you, John? And I said, well, you know, I'm a little bit to the right of George W. Bush. No, that wasn't true. I said, I'm really, really far to the right of George W. Bush. That's a fair statement. I don't know what else to say. Well, here's an...
Hey, nothing else to say. We're taking a break.
Oh, okay. Be back in a minute. You're listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben and Rippin' Richie.
Are you interested in knowing about the faith and legacies of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson? Check out Warriors of Honor. It's a new DVD produced by New Liberty Videos. You can get a copy of this video by emailing the Tyranny Response Network production staff at production@policyofliberty.net. That's production@policyofliberty.net. It's only $20, and it's well worth it. Take it from me, Dr. John Coben. I've seen this video, Warriors of Honor. It is just outstanding in producing something of value for those who love liberty, who hold to the Christian perspective, and want to be encouraged about our past. Finally, a documentary that is willing to speak plainly about the Christian faith of Jackson and Lee. It is a beautiful and accurate account of two great Southern leaders and a war that forever changed our country. Steve Wilkins. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is, non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth.
Albert Einstein once said, "Unthinking respect for authority is the greatest enemy of truth."
And we'd like to welcome you back to Christian Worldview this morning. Wanted to make our first announcement of the day about our special donation program that's going on here at the Tyranny Response Network during June. Anyone who'd like to donate money to help support the transmission signal improvement project and some other things going on with TRN are encouraged to do so this month, because during the month of June, if you donate $25 or more, you're going to receive from me a free signed copy of my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. And furthermore, if you're willing to donate $100 or more to this great project, we're going to be able to send you that book, as well as the Warriors of Honor the Warriors of Honor video. This is about the life of Stonewall Jackson and Robert E. Lee. It's a great video. I've seen it, and it's just tremendous family entertainment. As well, for those who want to contribute even more, we even have a couple more videos that we're willing to give as a token of our gratitude for your support. Right now, we're just looking for several hundred dollars to finish up our Pickens project, or their Pickens project at the Tyranny Response Network, and then we're moving on to Spartanburg, Traveler's Rest, and some other places for making the signal really clear in those places. We could really use your support right now. If you wouldn't mind going to the policyofliberty.net website, look for the PayPal buttons towards the bottom of the homepage, and you'll see how you can use even a Visa or a MasterCard or your PayPal account to donate. On the bottom of the TyrannyResponse.com or .net now website, you can also find the address, P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont, South Carolina, and you'll be able to go there, write down the address, write a check, send it off, and be sure to include your name and address, and we'll be happy to get the materials off to you. Please think about supporting the Tyranny Response Network. It's a great, great thing to support. Where else can you get these kinds of views published on the airwaves in this day and age?
Nowhere.
Amen.
Are you tired of politicians who raise taxes, invade your privacy, and assume that you do not have the sense to make your own decisions? Try voting libertarian for a change. Would you like to meet other libertarians? You'll find they're regular people just like you, concerned about the state of our republic and willing to act on that concern. Okay, Libertarian Business Meeting is at 6:30 p.m. the second Thursday of the month at Prime Sirloin on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Visitors are welcome to talk politics. Join them for the meetup at 8 p.m. on the fourth Wednesday of the month at Cafe Underground, just off Main Street downtown. They would love to swap ideas with you for restoring limited constitutional government. Now, you can also see those meetings and dates and times and all that on the website tyrannyresponse.com.
.net. They both work.
But nobody cares about .net, so that's why they say .com.
Well, I like .net. I'll tell you what, we're a network here. We're not a company.
.com.
Okay. If you insist, .net. Well, we have one other bill that, speaking of libertarians, there's the StopTax.org or the SCNotax.com. Websites have been promoting Senate Bill 880. We want to tell you about this on the show because we think it's a very important piece of legislation here in South Carolina. The Senate Bill 880 will do the following. Permanently eliminate all property taxation on primary residences. Provide businesses with a 20% break on their property tax burden. That means this is not a true allodial bill because some people are still saddled with it. Third, allow the state to fulfill its constitutional mandate to fund education. Oh, this is bad. Okay, well, I didn't know the bill was had a spike in it like that. But anyway, I'll continue on. Create an effective mechanism to compensate political subdivisions for the loss of property tax revenues. Apply a measure of fiscal restraint to school districts riding roughshod over homeowners. Make a change to a funding to a 3-cent sales tax, essentially revenue neutral. And make a shift from property taxation to sales tax non-regressive by reducing sales tax on groceries by 3 cents. Well, okay. Some of those things are laudable, obviously. Anything that reduces property taxes is great, but they're going to obviously give you a new sales tax, and then a few years later they'll install the property tax back in and won't get rid of the sales tax, so that's how the trick works. So that's a problem. The biggest problem is they're actually going to find a way to mandate funding for education. That is, I'm assuming, public education or government schooling rather than funding homeschooling. Now, if they're going to fund homeschooling with it,
I went on a fun date last week.
A fun date?
Yeah, a fun date.
Yeah, who with your wife?
Well, my wife, of course.
Okay, she would be offended if you went out with somebody else, I suppose.
Yeah, she would probably wouldn't like that.
Yeah, she's a little bit sensitive, I understand. Yeah, most women are, though. She's not that much different than other women. So anyway, there's something about Senate Bill 880. Want to keep our eye on that thing and see some more details there. The StopTax.org website probably has more. More about that. You got any interesting stories over there on your side?
Yeah, we had Bibles banned on a public school playground. And you mentioned the other stories I had here.
Did I really? Already mentioned all of them?
Well, we mentioned them. You were going to talk about North Korea calling Cheney a bloodthirsty beast.
Well, he is a bloodthirsty beast.
I wish he was. I don't think he is.
Well, he's you think he's just sort of a milquetoast
like,
kind of guy?
Like in Fallujah, mm-hmm. when they did that to the contractors over there, hung their bodies from the bridge, they should have dropped flyers or something and said, city's going to be glass in 2 days. You better get out.
Oh, my.
And if we'd done that, we wouldn't have a lot of problems we have right now.
Yeah, that probably would have been a deterrent. It would have been pretty costly in terms of lives, but yeah, that would have probably...
No, everybody that's innocent can get the heck out. The wretch of you going to die.
How are they going to get out? Bus service?
They walk out.
Oh. So it'd be like a local
move
or something.
It's just Fallujah. I'm not talking about the whole country.
Yeah. Okay. What if the terrorists
I'm just saying, we're too nice to those people. You know, I mean, I know from raising two boys what you do to get the results you want.
Mm. Get a big stick and just
You spank them. And we got to spank those people. Mm-hmm. And I met this guy the other day. He put it well. He said, don't spank them till they're mad. Spank them till they're glad. And that means you spank them to the point where instead of being upset with you that you're spanking them, they're going to be so glad that you stopped finally.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the same thing. These terrorists are just like little kids. You got to spank them till they're glad.
Mm.
Which means you continue on until you've completely eliminated all the rebellion in their hearts.
Yeah.
That would do it. Yeah. Now, first of all, now, of course, we shouldn't have stuck our nose in a lot of business we've been in around the world. But a lot of that's too late to change now. At this point, we got to work with what we got. And I say we, lay down the law, kick some butt over there, and then get the heck out. Because, I mean, if they can't set up a government that works, then we'll go knock that government out, too. I mean, if it's a threat to us, if it actually is a threat.
Which it never has been, probably.
Look, these terrorists, they're funded by governments. You have to put a stop to that. But the case could be made that Saudi Arabia is also responsible for part of the threat that faces us.
That should
be dealt with as well.
We could email Dick Cheney, the bloodthirsty beast, and maybe he'd put it on the docket for next places to attack.
He might, maybe bloodthirstybeast@AOL.com. I don't know. Maybe that's his email address.
Yeah, I guess the problem we have is what would we do if Iraq really had come over here and been able to dominate us and attack us, and how would we feel? Would we be terrorists if we attacked them back?
Well, I mean, if our government was funding people that would go fly planes into their buildings and purposely kill civilians for no reason, then I guess I could understand.
Yeah,
and if our government was, I mean, if we were ruled by some dictator. And some other country helped free us from him and put him in prison where he could be photographed in his underwear. I think it's great.
that problem wouldn't be a real problem, would it? Photographing him in his underwear. Okay. Yeah, well, George Bush has not been necessarily a great guy. I mean,
he's no Hussein.
Well, he killed 100,000 or so, right?
Yeah, so the leftist Marxists say.
Yeah. Well, how do we know?
I don't know if I'd believe them.
How do we know the real number, right?
Look, I see how these people bend over backwards to try to avoid killing civilians and try to avoid flushing Korans and all this stuff. And if anything, they're being too nice, not too mean. I think that's leftist Marxist rhetoric that you're hearing. I don't believe that stuff.
Flushing Korans, that's a real problem, isn't it? Don't want to flush any Korans.
Oh, no, certainly not.
Yeah.
You know, we need a flushing sound effects when we talk about Islam. Mm-hmm. We need to play that.
Mm-hmm.
See, I'll get that. I'll just record the flushing the toilet later today. We'll get that. Put it in the playlist here.
Right. Yeah.
So we bring it up with that flushing sound.
Yeah, we need to have that because that's important. We want to make sure we flush all the Korans we can here.
Maybe a flushing sound along with the Muslim call for prayer
mm-hmm.
that you hear making all that racket from mm-hmm. up in the tower.
Yeah.
You'll probably find it on the internet as well.
Is that called a minaret? I think it is some kind of chant they do up there to call people to whatever.
Okay, so it'll be you hear that and then a flushing sound.
That's good.
That'd be nice.
Well, we wouldn't actually be able to read the Quran online, would we, and flush that as it goes down the drain here, get less lower and lower.
You know, I wonder, would they be offended if, because I'm sure there's places you can read passages of the Quran online. If I were to copy and paste mm-hmm. that text and put it on a document and then put that document in the trash can on your computer or the recycle bin,
mm-hmm.
would that be also be offensive?
It probably would be.
Well, Chad, we'll find out.
I mean, logically it would be. Because I don't think it's really a problem of flushing paper down the toilet they have a problem with. Or the spine of a book. It's got to be the words.
We'll do that live on the air and see if it creates a big controversy.
Yeah.
I'll copy and paste stuff from an online Quran, and then I'll trash that document.
And then we have to totally delete it, like empty our trash can.
And empty the trash and see if... Yeah.
It should be the same effect. I mean, why would it be any different than flushing it down the toilet?
I don't know.
I mean, even if you flush down a toilet, I mean, at least a rat or something might have a chance of reading it. Once it's in your recycle bin and gone, I mean, it's just bits and bytes. History.
I could also take, with my graphic software, I could take the text and copy it and paste it on top of a picture of a pig.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe that would be... I'm just thinking out loud here.
That might really...
See if that creates a controversy.
We'd have to explain that. We could, you know, that we're actually doing that online so people could understand. We've got pig skin here.
We could put it on the website.
Yeah.
Yeah.
See? Quran, pigskin.
And then, you know, if we put some text on the website, then everybody go to the website, copy and paste the surah or whatever they call it from the Quran, and throw it away. We could have people all over the country trashing the Quran and see what happens.
Yeah. That's a great idea. We could start a little movement of Quran trashing on your desktop.
Some already took flushthequran.com, so...
They did, huh? How about Flush the Quran Again?
And they got flushthequran.net as well. I was going to get those sites. But
well, flushthequranagain.com, they got to still have that available.
Yeah, maybe so. Maybe we could use that one.
Or Flush It Twice?
Or Trash the Quran, or Delete the Quran. Maybe that's it.
That does sound pretty entertaining.
Now tell me why. You know what? We're going to talk about why Cheney's a bloodthirsty beast. And John says he is, and I say I wish he was, but I don't think he is. But first...
North Korea said he was a bloodthirsty beast. You got to buy whatever they tell
you. That's the one to talk about.
Where is he? What's his name? Hokey.
It's Kim Jong-il.
That's what it is. Is it ill?
Yeah.
I thought it was a second.
It says that on there.
They forgot the I.
It's just got the two capital L's. It looks like the second. Or maybe Kim Jong-il just recently passed away, and then here's the second one.
You just don't know.
Didn't make the news.
We just don't know what we're looking at here. It does say Kim Jong the second, though, on the page here. Well, let's call him Kim Jong-il just to make sure we're covering our bases, or the second.
We'll tell you all about Kim Jong-il versus Cheney, the bloodthirsty beast, right after this.
Hello, this is Dr. John Coben. Get a copy of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective, my latest book. You can buy it online from Alertness Books. The link is at the top of policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net. It's only $11, and it will help you think about the Christian's relationship to public policy and the nature of the state. Be sure to get a copy today of Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective.
Marquis de Sade said, "Social order at the expense of liberty is hardly a bargain."
Liberalism is not to be tossed lightly aside, but to be hurled with great force.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Warning. Dr. Coben's show is not recommended for anyone with an aversion to deep thinking and critical analysis.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer.
He holds a Ph.D. degree in public policy, M.A. degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we do welcome you back to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Joining me, of course, today, Rippin' Richie Williams, 61 degrees outside in Greenville under cloudy skies.
Going to be June 3rd.
That's right, June 3rd, 2005. 73 degrees will be the high today, 80% chance of rain. So as you're preparing to make your way out the door, also be prepared for wet weather today. We're going to have thunderstorms and showers most of the day. Well, we have want to tell you about a couple things. One is the tyrannyresponse.net website, which is the same thing as the tyrannyresponse.com website. And you can go to either one you want, whichever you're privy to.
.com is better.
And check out the two different websites. You'll find that there are things on there about our current events in the upstate, as well as our related media sources like the Times Examiner. Now, we've got to remember a couple events coming up tomorrow at noon. Tomorrow at 12:30 or 1 o'clock, the Carolina Patriots have their meeting at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant on Woodruff Road across from Greenville Mall. Be sure to attend that if you can. In addition to that, on Monday, there's the Institute for the Constitution. The Institute for the Constitution has been running for a number of weeks. It's a great event. If you can make it out there, it's 6:30 to 2:03 Ina Marie Road in Pelzer, South Carolina. We hope that you'll do so. If you can't get there right at 6:30, you can be a little bit late. It won't offend anybody. They realize people are coming out from Greenville, and it might take them a little longer to get settled after work and after having dinner and so forth. They have snacks available usually there, a semi-meal sometimes, but the Institute for the Constitution is a great time to learn about the Constitution and about the vision of the Founding Fathers and have a discussion. Yeah, watch a little video for about 30 minutes, and then they have a great discussion group led by Pastor Tony Romo. So I hope you can make it to that event on Monday evening.
I just bought those DVDs, by the way.
Oh, did you really?
Yeah.
Not bad, are they?
I haven't watched them yet, but okay. I'm sure they're not.
Well, I mean, I don't agree with everything in there. And because
what?
Let's face it, I'm a liberty of conscience kind of guy, and the guy that does the videos has a divine right or a theonomic perspective. I'm not quite sure from the ones that I've seen. I missed some of the early ones. But still, you can learn a lot from that, from those. And when he gets into talking about the Constitution, it's just a tremendous series.
We're going to be using it for our homeschooling.
Are you? Yeah, good. Well, you know, that's great. It's great. It's great material. It's nice to see Christians thinking. That's one thing about the Tyranny Response Network. We're interested in helping people think, not just in promoting Dr. Coben's opinion on things, although you do get some of that here and there, even to the point of Cheney being a bloodthirsty beast and hundreds of thousands of people dying in Iraq at George Bush's hands. You hear all those opinions, but you also hear other opinions, especially from those, because we realize there are other pro-life libertarians, constitutionalists, true conservatives out there who differ on various points of certain things. Well, this is your station to listen to conservatives and libertarians and so forth debate the issues and talk about stuff like this, and we're open to different points of view here.
I only disagree with you when you're wrong.
Yeah, that's true.
That's the only time I disagree.
That's the problem. You'd be 100% accurate if you only never disagreed with me, because I'm right always. You know, that's just one of the truths. My wife had to realize that at some point in her life, that one of the best things about being married to me is I'm always right. She just needs to check. You know, just ask me a question. And sure enough, if I say something, it's going to be right.
I'm sure she's very grateful for that.
I think she is. I think over the years she's really learned to be grateful.
I wonder if she's listening right now.
She probably is. My views have changed on certain things over the years a lot. But they become more sophisticated, I hope. I suppose the greatest, besides being converted and actually understanding the sovereignty of God's grace and so forth, the greatest change I had in my life occurred about 10 years ago when I was studying under Walter Williams at George Mason University and realizing what was really going on in public policy and starting to develop a public policy theology. And since then, I believe part of my work for the Lord in this world has been to really develop public policy theology to an extent it has not been done before, especially from a Baptist point of view. And that's why the liberty of conscience position has been something I've advocated and supported and tried to develop further than it ever has been. So my views have changed dramatically over over the years, and I think for good reason. I've been as you get older, you get and especially after you go to graduate school, you start to listen to people more and think about things more, and not just write them off, which is our typical response.
You know, I think the first time I voted, it might have been for Pat Buchanan, as a matter of fact.
Man, you must be young. That's right. I forgot. I'm old.
I've been pretty right wing for quite a while.
Yeah, you have. Well, I guess I've been right wing for about 22 years, something like that. I think as a kid, my mother, you know, wanted to support Jimmy Carter, as I recall, and I think I might have been, you might have been in favor of him when as a 16-year-old.
You know, Jimmy Carter was a good Christian man.
Yeah, he teaches Sunday school, I understand, in Georgia still.
Yeah, he sure does. Yeah. Sunday school teacher, Baptist church.
Yeah.
Fine Christian.
Well, so is Bill Clinton, I understand. He's a good Baptist, too.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
I've seen him carrying his Bible before.
Yeah, have you really?
Oh, yeah. Oh. On TV. Good Christian man.
Yeah, right. Yeah, the Southern Baptists, you never know what you're going to get from those folks, do you? I'll tell you what. What other stories you got? I got one. Here's one. From worldsocialism.org.
No, wait. We got to talk about the Kim Jong-il versus Cheney the bloodthirsty beast.
Oh, well, he is a bloodthirsty beast.
But you didn't go over the story.
Well, oh, you want to actually read that story?
Well, you're just going to give out the headline and not ever say anything.
Well, that's what we were intending to do. I mean, there's not really a whole lot saying here. Okay, let me go ahead and read. This is just from Fox News. It's just the Foxy Blather from the mainline network. Okay, North Korea called Vice President Dick Cheney a bloodthirsty beast and said Thursday his recent remarks labeling ruler Kim Jong-il, or the second, whichever it might be, irresponsible, are another reason for it to stay away from six-nation nuclear disarmament talks. What Cheney uttered at a time when the issue of the six-party talks is high on the agenda is little short of telling North Korea not to come out for the talks. An unnamed North Korean ministry spokesman said, according to the state-run Korean Central News Agency. Nearly a year since the last session of the six-nation talks, North Korea has refused to return to the table, citing a hostile U.S. policy. More recently, it has also called for an apology for being labeled one of the world's outposts of tyranny by Secretary of State Condoleezza Rice. It's an outpost of tyranny. That's what it is. And of course, we would say the same thing about King George, and I'd say the same thing about George W. Bush, frankly, as far as being an outpost of tyranny. Now, I'm not going to say that North Korea's president isn't also. Is he called the president there? What is he? What do they have in North Korea? Is it a dictator president?
His illness.
Comrade?
I don't know what they call him.
Yeah, I don't know either. White House Press Secretary Scott McClellan described the communist country's comments as more of the same kind of bluster we hear from North Korea from time to time. When they make provocative statements, they only further isolate themselves. In a Sunday interview on cable news channel, Cheney called the North Korean leader one of the world's most irresponsible leaders, who runs a police state and leaves his people in poverty and malnutrition.
I agree with all that.
President Bush himself has sounded more conciliatory tone recently, referring to Kim this week at a news conference using the title Mr. Well, why in the world would that be a more conciliatory tone? Well, whatever.
Mr. Ill.
Should I read the rest of the story? It's kind of boring, actually. I don't know. I
mean, don't want any boring stuff on the show here.
Yeah, North Korea is an evil state. I mean, but all states are evil in my mind, so it doesn't surprise me.
States meaning governments that exceed the proper bounds of government.
They're not governments. They become states.
Right. Well, most people don't understand the difference there.
Well, if they listen to Christian Worldview, they know.
But we've got some first-time listeners right now.
That's true. Well, if you go to the website and you get the article, it says at the policyofliberty.net website, or to tyrannyresponse.net, you're going to see at the website, you're going to see a Liberty Minutes entitled The Difference Between Governments and States. It's only a 5 or 6 minute recording. You ought to listen to that so you get the understanding from a Nockian point of view. That's from Albert J. Nock, who first pointed out the thesis in the 20th century, that there is a difference between limited government envisioned by the founding fathers and what it becomes later on when it becomes proactive. As it becomes proactive, a state. The state and the civil government are two different things, at least theoretically. And we're talking about states here being evil.
I tell you, one thing that the state has done, which has overstepped its bounds, is these federal regulations for toilets.
I didn't know they were regulating toilets now.
You didn't know that?
No.
You're kidding
That's
me.
A dirty job. Well, go ahead and tell us about it.
Oh, they said the toilets were using too much water, so they regulated them and limited the amount of water that these toilets ever since whatever year they put this in place. This is federal legislation. I mean, you show me this in the Constitution.
Yeah, to regulate toilet water.
Article 1, Section 8. I don't see it there.
Yeah,
or and, even Section 7. And so you end up with a toilet that won't flush, and you have to flush it 10 times. You end up using a lot more water.
Yeah, yeah.
That's the state for you.
Yeah, that sure is.
That's definitely a government overstepping its bounds.
Yeah, that's ridiculous.
What about the 10th Amendment?
Well, the 10th Amendment ended in 1865, if you haven't checked. Lincoln made sure of that, especially after he just ran off the legislatures of a couple states that want us to secede with using the army. That's what Lincoln does for you.
Stinking Lincoln.
Mm-hmm.
That's what I call him.
Well, here's another piece for you, Evolution and Revolution by Charles Rappaport. The new method as evolution is evolutionist. The new method is reformist. The new method stands above all for legality. In order to fully understand it in all its beauty and all its power, we must first study its conceptions of evolution, reform, and legal reform. Let us proceed in this order and commence with evolution. Okay, let's see.
What are you talking about?
I don't know yet, because this Charles Rappaport guy starts
did
out
you do
with
any
something.
Show prep? What do you just come up with this?
Well,
you
know, I want to know
what's going on.
I always like to read like the first couple lines of an article before I skip down to things that were highlighted. They alone are in complete agreement with modern science founded on the principles of evolution. That's what they're trying to tell you. These new method people are in complete agreement with modern science founded on the principle of evolution. Let us first point out the great masters of contemporary socialism.
What does science have to do with evolution?
Well, they say that they're scientists if they believe in evolution. Those very men who introduced it into the idea of evolution, who have some measure of saturated the spirits of man with their ideas, like Karl Marx, Frederick Engels, and Ferdinand LaSalle, Peter Lavrov, were throughout their entire lives convinced revolutionists. So they liked revolution, they liked socialism, and evolution went part and parcel. You know, it was linked tightly together with all these doctrines. Can you believe that?
Well, I don't know, because I mean, evolution, the survival of the fittest, doesn't necessarily fit in with socialism.
You wouldn't think so necessarily, but it's interesting. I think this article is pointing out that they all were Darwinian. It's probably because it was a way to explain origins without God.
Well, that's the bottom line. They don't want to be accountable to God, because if there's no higher power, then these little two-bit dictators can be the highest power.
That's it.
They don't want any competition.
Right. Yeah, God is a real troublesome thing for a lot of people, you know.
Yeah, they want to be the highest power in the world, but they're not, and they're going to burn in hell as soon as they're dead.
Yeah, that's right. We're not afraid to say that here at the Christian Worldview Show. We really believe that there is a hell. I mean, how many listeners don't believe in hell? It wasn't Chuck Baldwin that we recently read the story from Chuck, that there was a statistic reported, at any rate, only 9% of professing born-again Christians hold the 8 essential fundamentals of the faith, including the existence of hell. Only 9% of professing Christians. That means there's a lot of people listening to me
today. I would think the vast majority of Christians believe in hell. I wonder what those other 7 were. That's one of those other 7 that's probably where they
were. Oh, they were all pretty basic, like you know, Christ is the only way of salvation. Christ rose from the dead. I mean, there were fundamentals of the Bible. The Bible is the rule for life, faith, and
practice. Well, you know, I think you have close to 80% of Americans claiming to be Christian. But it's definitely not reflected in the way people vote, especially.
No, and so it's obviously not true. And if Bill Clinton's claiming to be a Christian, you know, hey.
Well, I think we've got different levels of Christianity. I mean, a lot of Americans think that Christianity affects nothing. You just happen to be born in a Christian country, that makes you a Christian.
Yeah.
It has no meaning, really. Other people think Christianity is just for the heart only. You say a prayer when you're some point, and then, you know, it doesn't affect the way you live or the way you vote or the way you raise your kids or anything.
Well, we try to talk about a lot of these themes, by the way, at our little gathering. Sometimes a number of us gather at the California Dreaming Restaurant today, or every Friday, and the time has changed to 1:30. Some people have been calling, you know, and asked, well, you know, are you going to be here at noon today? Well, we used to meet there at noon. Now we're meeting about 1:30. So if anybody's still interested in just stopping in, and you're welcome to do so, as long as you're interested in, you're a believer and you're interested in listening to some talk about public policy, come on by, but it'll be a little bit later today. Richie, what about your show starting Monday, the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse or whatever it's going to be called?
Yeah, people keep talking about that. I don't know what they're talking about.
Yeah? It's not going to happen, you don't think?
I guess so. I could do that.
You think it's going to happen? 4:30? In the afternoon?
4:30.
When are you going to start it?
I guess 4:30 be all right. What's drive time? I don't know if I'm going to do an hour and a half.
At 4:30 you get bureaucrats and construction workers, because they get off early. And after that, you get, you know,
people. Construction workers, they actually work, though, a lot of them. The bureaucrats, I can't say.
Yeah, yeah, no, we're not against construction workers. They get up a little earlier than
between the construction workers and the bureaucrats is right. The construction workers got up early.
Yeah, and there's also all the people down at the center down where Lockheed, what's it called, the Donaldson Center area. There's, you know, Lockheed Martin there and Michelin, all those people. They have these split shifts, so a lot of them get off at 4, and they'll be driving 4:30. So you'll get a number of people coming back to town around then.
So you think I should start at 4:30 then?
I would. Okay. I mean, at least you get some irate bureaucrats and stuff, and you know, some people calling in from driving home from real jobs,
right?
And then if you go all the way till 6, you'll catch a lot of the afternoon crowd.
Well, hour and a half though, that might be rough.
Yeah,
an hour I can do. An hour and a half. Oh, we'll see.
What about your co-host? Is he still in town, or is he going to be joining you late?
I don't know. He's left the country for some reason. I don't know what's going on with him.
Yeah, he's just too free market minded. He doesn't want to hang around.
No, it's some. I don't know what it was.
Yeah. All right. Well, hopefully, Bob Llewellyn will also be back for sometime next week for the inaugural week of the Sacred Cow Slaughterhouse, or whatever it's going to be called here.
He prefers to be called the Peaceful Sage.
He likes to be called Peaceful Sage?
Peaceful Sage is it going to be how I'll refer to him.
That's cute. Do you know what sage means?
I know what sagebrush is.
Yeah,
maybe I lived in Wyoming for a short time.
He probably is going to be kind of like sagebrush. Why do they call it sagebrush? Is that because it makes you wiser when you brush up against it that you won't do it again?
Just because in the areas that have sagebrush, which would be the lesser populated areas, there's less nonsense along with less people, so it does end up with more wisdom for the person who does live there.
Right. That sounds like a very interesting word.
I just made that up, but you know.
Yeah. Well. Yeah. Well, we know that you make most of the things up that you say, Richie. That's not a big deal.
A lot of it, not all of it.
Well, we have a few other interesting items of news that people always send in to us. I'm just looking through some of the book reviews online while we're scanning. Sometimes I can just listen to Richie talk and actually make a couple of perusals on the Internet.
Hey, you know what? Go ahead and peruse some more because we're taking a break.
We are. Okay, we'll be back in just a minute.
Okay, for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes? At Integrity Group, we are dedicated to providing personalized service, finding effective ways to protect and increase your hard-earned money. Integrity Group is an independent financial planning firm that offers a wide range of services. We specialize in finding creative, custom solutions to meet the needs of each individual. Do you have concerns about providing for your retirement? Do you want to ensure that catastrophes like disability or long-term care will not wipe out your savings? Do you need to have your assets protected from creditors? Do you want tax-advantaged growth of your savings? At Integrity Group, we recognize that time passes all too quickly. Sound financial planning is not something to be delayed. Our offices are located at 514 Pettigrew Street in downtown Greenville. Make an appointment with Integrity Group today at 864-244-6464. That's 864-244-6464.
Sick of having the dead flies of bad public policy stink up the ointment of American liberty? The follies and foibles of the political sages of our day are plucked out daily on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, weekday mornings from 7:30 to 9 o'clock, right here on 97.7 FM in Greenville.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. You know, we've been so remiss on one thing all morning, Richie. I don't know if we thought about this. No one's hearing the phone numbers. I mean, we haven't had anybody call in today, and the reason is we're not telling them what the phone numbers are. Sorry.
You sure you want to do that?
Well, we probably should. It is a call-in show, so we should probably do that. 864-849-0277. 864-849-0277 is one line. You can also try the backup line, which is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. We just need to get Richie to record a spot saying that so we can remember every break to point that out to folks who are driving and want to call in and talk about what we're talking about today. Hope to hear from you soon here on the Christian Worldview Show. Well, Henry Clay is one of the criminals, the state leader, senator, four-time presidential hopeful in the 1800s that we criticized last week on Monday on the Memorial of Villains show. Thomas J. DiLorenzo wrote an article in the Free Market a number of years ago, about 6-7 years ago, and one of our listeners found that article and emailed it in. I thought it was worthy to just read the first couple lines from it or so. Thomas J. DiLorenzo also wrote the book The Real Lincoln, A New Look at Abraham Lincoln, His Agenda, and His Unnecessary War. Great book. And here he's writing Henry Clay, National Socialist. The title says it all, doesn't it? While American liberals tend to view Franklin Delano Roosevelt, Lyndon Johnson, and Bill Clinton as their political and philosophical idols, conservatives at the Weekly Standard magazine and elsewhere began touting Henry Clay as their first political icon. Now, the Weekly Standard is a neocon publication, which means it's liberal also. DiLorenzo says, but Henry Clay can only be considered to be a conservative if conservatives embrace the economics of national socialism, for that is what Clay devoted his entire 40-year political career to. If that is the legacy of contemporary conservatives want to claim, then proponents of free markets, property rights, and limited constitutional government should have no use for conservatism. Lincoln was the first Republican president and considered himself a political heir to Clay, whom Lincoln eulogized in 1852 as the bode the ideal of a statesman and the great parent of Whig principles. During my whole political life, Lincoln stated, I have loved and revered Henry Clay as a teacher and leader. From the moment Lincoln first entered political life, writes Lincoln biographer Robert W. Johannesson, he had demonstrated unswerving fidelity to the party of Henry Clay and to Clay's American system. The program of internal improvements, that is, corporate welfare for railroad and steamship businesses, protective tariffs, and centralized banking. Clay was a corrupt statist who spent his political career promoting mercantilism, protectionism, inflationary finance through central banking, and military adventurism in a quest for empire. Upon entering Congress in 1811, he helped persuade the government to attempt to conquer Canada, which it tried to do three times. It's too cold to conquer Canada. He waged a 30-year battle with James Madison, John C. Calhoun, Andrew Jackson, and other defenders of the Constitution over federally funded corporate welfare. Presidents Madison and Monroe both vetoed so-called internal improvements bills sponsored by Clay that would have been the very first federally funded pork barrel programs. Clay was the fiercest congressional proponent of protectionism from the War of 1812 until his death 40 years later. He used his power as Speaker of the House in the early 1820s to push through the first protectionist trade bill in U.S. history. Well, I won't read the whole article, but as you get the idea here, as DiLorenzo is right on the money, Henry Clay, one of the first great American liberals and the father of neocons today, a very evil man, a criminal of the first degree. Thankfully, back then, we had James Madison and John C. Calhoun and Andrew Jackson who could oppose him and successfully win, so that liberty lasted all the way through Lincoln, but Lincoln, his heir, eventually took us to the butcher shop there, and well, to the place where they butcher animals and killed us. America died at Lincoln, but really his philosophical forefather was Henry Clay, the senator from wherever he was, Kentucky, I think.
Kentucky?
Everything bad comes from Kentucky.
Wait a minute.
Only half things.
Got a good friend in the Kentucky militia.
Oh, did you? Well, they have the Kentucky Derby there. I guess that's important. They have Fort Knox. Well, tell us about donations, our donation program, Richie, and also our phone numbers again.
Oh, yeah. You can make a donation on the website, tyrannyresponse.com. They've got a donate button. You can donate
.net.
Or .net. You can do PayPal or credit card. And we actually have a special this week and next week.
All of June.
I'm talking about a different special you don't know about.
Oh, okay.
This week and next week, we are not putting any limit on the amount of the donation. It could be as much as you'd like to give. So
that's incredible.
Yeah, this week and next week, no limit on the amount of the donation. So hurry up and get in on that while you can.
Yeah, and if you donate any time in the month of June, you're going to receive $25 or more. We're going to send you a free copy signed by me, The Tyranny Response Unit, my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. For donations of $100 or more, we're also going to send you the DVD, Warriors of Honor, about the life and principles of Robert E. Lee and Stonewall Jackson, which is great family viewing, an excellent documentary.
Yeah, my family, we all watched it together.
Did you see the movie, too, The Warriors of Honor? The DVD, whatever.
Yeah, we watched it.
It's good, isn't it?
Yeah, we watched that, and we watched Gods and Generals earlier that week. So
that's good too. But I like the other one. I like Warriors of Honor better. That doesn't give you any misunderstanding at all about the South. The Gods and Generals gives some part about slavery in there, which is just too far fetched.
Which part?
There was a part where Stonewall Jackson was depicted doing something to his slaves or treating them in such a way or talking about them. I've forgotten now, which just did not correlate to reality in the South. Slaves were not mistreated like we're popularly led to believe.
I didn't say anything negative about Jackson in there.
No, it wasn't.
Did you hear nothing about Michael Jackson?
Yeah, there's a lot to say negative about him. No, there was some part. I just since you asked me off the top of my head, I can't recall what it was, but there was some scene with slaves in there that just wasn't right.
Oh, really?
Yeah, my understanding. Yeah, yeah. You think about the slavery issue. I'm going to be writing about this in the Times Examiner soon too. But you think about the slavery issue. We have people, you know, Uncle Tom's Cabin kind of people, just telling us that slaves were brutalized and raped and all. You know, it was just horrible. Well, I'm not defending slavery, believe me. I'm just going to say let's get a reality check here. I mean, slaves were expensive commodities, and if we're going to go out and pay, you know, you and I are starting a business like an agricultural endeavor, and we're going to pay $30,000 current dollars, $50,000 current dollars for a slave. The last thing we want to do is demoralize him, kill him, or beat him up, or maim him, or rape his wife, or something like that. And Southerners, by and large, did not do this. They wanted to create high levels of morale. Stonewall Jackson was well noted for teaching his own slaves, as well as others in the South. They taught them how to read and write, and that's saying they had a great life. But they did have it better than the Irish did, free immigrants in New York, as far as poverty levels go. They weren't free, but as far as their economic status goes, slaves probably had it better. So
better off than the Irish, huh?
The Irish really had a tough time. One of my favorite stories to tell is the old business who dug the canals. I've told this so many times, and many of you have already heard it probably, but in the South and all throughout the entire Eastern Seaboard, they had a system of canals to get us over the Appalachians to the Ohio Valley and so forth. The only way you could do that was before railroads was with a canal system where you had locks going up over And some people say, well, who dug the canals in the South? Well, the common response is, well, the slaves did. Masters just threw their slaves out there. It just didn't happen. I mean, if you were a master and you'd invested, hundreds of thousands of dollars in your chain gang or millions, whatever it might be, and you were wealthy, the last thing you're going to do is throw them out there into a government, public works project where they have a high probability of getting bitten by a water moccasin or a coral snake and dying or getting some, yellow fever or something. The last thing you're going to do is risk your slave. What you're going to do is, call up to New York.
So they had the Irish do it really cheap, huh?
Yeah, the Irish came down for 10 cents a day and did it. They got bit, no one cared. Just die, Just an Irishman.
Huh, so maybe we should have reparations for the Irish.
We probably should. They should learn about this and complain. And
I feel like Bill O'Reilly. Yeah,
that's
we
right.
We should be paying him reparations.
Yeah, I think so. I think they all deserve it as a clan. And Ted Kennedy, I think he's Irish too, isn't he? He could probably lead the charge.
People that stereotype, I'm sure, would say for certain reasons that he is, but I don't know.
I think he is. I think he's Irish. I may be wrong, but I think he's an Irishman. So at any rate, the whole slavery thing is just typical revisionist history and just wrong. Now being a slave, slavery is a bad idea as far as I'm concerned, especially if you kidnap people. If you're talking about people volunteering into slavery for a while or being punished for a crime. Or to pay off a debt.
I'm all for that.
Yeah.
For crime, especially. Yeah. If someone's being...
Sure.
I think we should have that restitution instead of prisons.
Yeah, I agree entirely.
Someone steals something, right. And you put him on a slave labor camp, and he has to work it off and pay back the person he stole from.
Of course, one of the greatest forms of slavery that we have in our country is the military draft. I mean, this is forcing you to serve in the military to fight George Bush's war against your will. That is slavery. So that still occurs, and I don't think that's right either.
But actually, we don't have a draft right now.
Well, we will soon. I mean, they got to attack North Korea. There's a bloodthirsty beast in the White House, and we need to use that. And then also Iran. We haven't forgotten about
that. So you think
them.
We'll have a draft?
I don't
think we will.
Yeah, I think they'll start drafting people. They're going to have to carry on two or three fronts around the world. They're going to need
they
one.
Won't.
Do you think they're actually going to go from one country
to the
next?
Look, they're not going to do it, because whatever party starts drafting, they're out the next election. People now won't put up with it. Hmm. This is not America from 50 years ago. This is America now.
Yeah.
And you can start pulling these kids away from their video games? No, there could be hell to pay.
Yeah, well, that's true. Well, it'll be interesting to see. They've talked about doing it, and they haven't done it so far. But
it won't happen.
You don't think so? Maybe they're just offering more
benefits. But you know what? I mean, the Confederacy, they drafted.
That's right. Both sides drafted. That's a great point. You know, I've got here my Confederate battle flag on my mouse pad here, and on my wall it says, "With little Confederate battle flags, restore Southern heritage by educating the ignorant," which is what we do. And I have another one that says, "Fighting terrorism since 1861, and then the first terrorists arrived here in the United States under Abraham Lincoln and Edwin Stanton. But I'll have to admit,
Jefferson Davis was a tyrant because he drafted.
Precisely. I do not like Jeff Davis. I do not like any state. And the Southern state, although it was better than Lincoln's state, that we can comparatively say it's better.
The lesser of two evils.
It was still an evil thing.
I'd have voted for Davis because he was the lesser of two evils.
Oh, you're a pragmatist. Well, you know, the worst part of Davis, the worst decision Davis ever made, I mean, conscription was bad, paper money was bad in the South. Burning up the cotton was absolutely insane. Those were insane decisions, but the worst decision he made was when Stonewall Jackson, after First Manassas, said, "Look, I just slaughtered off the Yankees, let me cross over the Potomac and take off Lincoln's head right now. It ends the war. It's done." And they said no.
What, Jackson wanted to do?
Jackson wanted to go over and just finish the job. They wouldn't let him do it.
And he actually could have got to Lincoln, you think?
Oh, yeah. They were running away. I mean, they had women with their parasols and just twirling with parasols and thinking they were going to enjoy a picnic lunch watching the Union Army smash the Confederates. And they just were destroyed. And they were running back, and there were people leaving all this paraphernalia, you know, getting the umbrellas and whatever else on the ground as they fled back to Washington. They could have easily crossed the Potomac right then, took off his head, and every member of Congress, for that matter.
Look, we were watching that Zorro movie, The Mask of Zorro, with our kids this years ago. Have you seen the movie? It's actually a pretty decent movie.
Yeah.
So, and you see at the beginning, Zorro has a chance to kill this tyrant guy. He's got the sword up to his throat.
And he doesn't do
it. He doesn't do it. And I said, kids, you remember that. Anytime you have the chance to kill a tyrant, you got to do it.
You got
to
do it.
So we see that lesson all throughout history, over and over again.
No mercy to tyrants.
When you got the chance, you got to kill them.
Now, we don't have the chance right now in America to kill our tyrants, unfortunately. Otherwise, we probably would. That sounds conspiratorial, but we don't have a chance, so we can't do it as
Christians.
Well,
hopefully bloodthirsty Beast Cheney will kill Kim Jong-il.
Yeah, that would be good if they can kill each other off.
I'd like to see him have a pay-per-view wrestling match or something like that.
Yeah.
That's how I'd like to see stuff like that settle like that. Instead of these peons who are just minding their own business being drafted into war, let's have these politicians just get in there and duke it out themselves.
Yeah, that'd be fun to do. Of course, politicians never suffer the brunt of all these things. You know, their kids are safe, and they have different laws they live under.
Yeah, that's the problem. And then they, of course, have rich people can buy their way out of the draft.
Sad.
As we see that Lincoln, what he did.
Well, why aren't you taking us to a break? You're like way over time again.
Well, you're going to sue me?
Yeah.
Cut my pay?
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, whatever. Here we go.
Yeah, okay.
This is Dr. John Coben. Visit policyofliberty.net. That's www.policyofliberty.net on the web. You'll find there books and articles written by Dr. John Coben, that's me, the Tyranny Response Unit, regarding things related to covenant marriage, allodial land titles, and free market economics. You'll also find there portraits of famous economists, including their biographical information and links to their famous works, as well as many, many quotations for liberty. Visit policyofliberty.net on the web today and find a wealth of information to help advancement of the truth. Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. As many of you know that the Tyranny Response Network is listener-supported, and here's Gene Papke to tell you how you can support the Tyranny Response Network.
That's right, John. Folks, if you support TRN and you want to help financially, here's how. We at TRN are a listener-supported broadcast, but we don't take a notions, potions, and lotions approach to fundraising. If you own, operate, or work for a company with bad paper, that is non-performing assets, we can turn that garbage into gold. Simply go to our website, NPPros, that's N as in non, P as in profit, PROS as in professionals, your non-profit professionals, that's NPPros.com. And remember, we raise funds, but without fundraisers.
Log on today to www.npros.com and find out how you can be a vital part in supporting the Tyranny Response Network.
Yeah.
Welcome to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. Dr. Coben is an author, columnist, financial planner, and international lecturer. He holds a PhD degree in public policy, MA degrees in economics and business economics, and is a graduate of Reformed Bible College. Dr. Coben is an outspoken critic of public schools, government regulation, the IRS, paper money, welfare, and abortion. An evangelical Christian and the father of six homeschooled children, Dr. Coben is applauded by listeners across America and around the world as a champion of liberty, limited government, free markets, and peace. Now let's join Dr. Coben with Christian Worldview.
And we welcome you back to Christian Worldview. Just quickly with the weather, 61 or 62 degrees outside in Greenville this third day of June 2005.
June 3rd.
Thank you.
8:38 a.m.
A little bit cloudy, going to start rain and thunderstorms, 80% chance of rain, high of 73 today. So if you're making your way out to work still, be prepared for wet weather. And Richie's going to tell you about our phone numbers and donations.
Yes, I am. You can call in at 849-0277. And the 864 area code, 849-0277. The backup line, which might also work, who knows, 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. You can call in and be on the show, make your voice heard. You can be a star.
We're having a special offer this month for those who are able to support the Tyranny Response Network. You know, some people say, well, we can't quite hear the show. Well, the reason for that is the Tyranny Response Network is run by volunteers on a very limited budget, and they are ready to and have some places where they can install new transmission equipment, and they'd like to be able to do so in the upstate of South Carolina and near Charleston. But to do that, they need several thousand dollars. That's actually a pretty cheap price.
What, Charleston?
Down towards Charleston they want to put us up as well.
Wow.
I mean, we'd like to hit, make sure that Pickens County and Anderson and Spartanburg and Travelers Rest, all those are taken care of first. That's what they told me. But beyond that, they'd like to head down to Dorchester and Somerville and towards Charleston. So they have some plans to do that, but it takes funding. And believe me, if everyone listening just would be willing to send a check off for $10 or $20 or whatever it might be, it really makes a huge difference at knocking out some of these goals. This month, If anybody's willing to donate $25 or more, I'll send them a copy, a signed copy of my latest book, Bible and Government, Public Policy from a Christian Perspective. And at the tyrannyresponse.net website, there's also a place to donate, isn't there, Richie?
Yeah, but it doesn't work there. You have to go to tyrannyresponse.com.
But there's an address at the bottom. For some people that don't use PayPal or stuff that are at policyofliberty.net, that's a PayPal button that you can use Visa, MasterCard, or online services. But there's an address at tyrannyresponse.net. It's P.O. Box 151 in Piedmont. That's the Tyranny Response Network's address. So
mail a check.
Send a check off. If for those who donate more than $100 this month, they'll be receiving also the Warriors of Honor video from the Tyranny Response Network staff. And for larger donations than that, there are a couple more bonus videos they're going to be throwing in, including the Southern History Conference, which is it's not a video, it's an 8-CD collection of some of the things you've heard here on the network. And I think the Song of the South, also that video, is being made available by some of the production crew at the Tyranny Response Network. So I hope that some of you will be willing to send off a check. It's a worthwhile cause, obviously, and we want to be able to promote the program and get the signal stronger so everyone can hear in the upstate of South Carolina. Well, here's a couple quick stories that Rich will no doubt want to comment on. Well, actually, maybe he won't. He might be mesmerized by both these. I'm having trouble speaking today. It must be Friday.
It's mesmerizing.
Yes, thank you. Conservative versus liberal is no longer an issue, says Chuck Baldwin. We usually like reading Chuck Baldwin, former pastor and former vice presidential candidate for the Constitution Party. He says, let's get real. The political battle between conservatives and liberals is no longer an issue worth discussing. Except for rhetoric, there's little substantive difference between them. The hype scare tactics and fear mongering used by both sides is merely for the purpose of raising money and electing people to positions of power. However, neither side has any real plans to change public policy or the overall direction of the country. He's skipping on. He says, what Americans must come to understand is there really is only one issue that counts today. Will America be an independent, sovereign nation, or will it become part of a global empire, complete with global government and a global economy? Well, he makes a good point. That is the question here at Christian Worldview, if you hadn't figured out yet, and the Tyranny Response Network. We're not in favor of globalism, socialism, Marxism, government schools, or anything that promotes an anti-Christian worldview or an anti-American worldview. We're in favor of the vision of the Founding Fathers. Aren't you in favor of the vision of the Founders?
I like the life, liberty, and property thing myself.
Yeah, that's that little obscure clause that some people know about still. It's rarely thought about because even though there's a record attendance at public schools, it's really not taught in public schools.
You know, I actually got through to a Democrat lady one time. Now, this is over in Chicago, as a matter of fact. They had...
Get through? Did you use a long enough knife to pierce her? Is that what you're saying?
Oh, no, certainly not.
Oh.
No, a woman would never be a threat to me, so I would never use a lethal force.
She's got a 44 Magnum, you know, she would.
Yeah, that's true.
You know, I shot, before you go on, I had an opportunity to go shoot, and I like to go shooting with my kids, and I had an expert go with us and train us on how to shoot. He brought along his $2,000 .454. You ever shot one of those? It has the same muzzle velocity.
I think you're confused. That's the engine in a 1969 Camaro, a 454.
It's a 454. It's not a 44. It's a 454. It's the most powerful handgun made. It's got an 8-inch barrel. It's very expensive. It's so tight, you know, you can't even turn the drum or whatever the thing's called that holds the six bullets. He says at the muzzle of a 44 mag, there's a lot of power at the muzzle as soon as the bullet leaves. This has the same power at 100 yards that a 44 Magnum does at the muzzle. And when I just pulled the trigger, I've never felt recoil like this gun. He says, yeah, this is what you use for polar bears. And it just destroys anything in its path. It's just,
wow, polar bear.
10 times the strength or something like that of a 44 Magnum.
That's amazing.
You should get one in your hand sometimes and just pull that trigger. It's just a, you know, I'm a pretty big guy. You're a pretty big guy. But, I mean, this thing will knock you back a bit.
Yeah, we got 45, Colt 45.
Yeah, it's a subsonic bullet. Doesn't even travel the speed of light or speed of sound.
It's like a 44 and a 45. That's going to be usually a slower.
It just matters how much gunpowder they put behind the bullet in the shell, and a few things like it's like that. I mean, the 45 won't. The nice thing about 45s for home defense is if you're shooting, it won't pierce a bunch of walls. And like, you know, this other gun I shot on Saturday, it'll go through like your neighbor's house, bricks and everything. It'll pierce.
Right.
He said it at 100 yards. He shot it at a half inch solid plate of steel. Half inch of steel, it almost pierced it at 100 yards.
Wow. Well, I know, like, of course, the shotgun is a good home defense.
Yeah.
And one thing I do is the last couple of shells in my shotgun are slugs.
Yeah.
That's in case the rest of it ain't working, there's some kind of extreme circumstance, you got the last two are slugs.
Just pumping with a slug.
Which would pretty much take care of.
We're gun nuts,
just about
here,
anything.
Aren't we? I'm telling you.
Not really. I mean, I don't have that many guns. I mean, I really do just have a few.
Yeah, but we like guns.
You know, I love
that
guns.
Makes us some kind of criminal nuts, you know, as far as most people are concerned.
Some people would say so, yeah.
Yeah, we even have guns because we wouldn't mind using them against a tyrannical state if it needed to be overthrown.
That's what Thomas Jefferson said.
Yeah.
But he was an extremist.
Yeah, that's right.
With Washington and Henry and...
Yeah.
James
Madison,
all the rest of those guys.
Sam Adams, they're a bunch of real radical nuts, weren't they? They actually boarded ships and threw private property in the ocean. And well, you're telling us about piercing Democrats with swords and stuff, so.
Yeah. Well, they did destroy some private property, didn't they? Huh. That's too bad. I did that, as a matter of fact.
Yeah. You went to Rip and Richie's bookstore or something?
That was, yeah, we tore up some kiddie porn at a bookstore.
Just one time?
Tore it up just once, yeah. I actually got arrested just for holding up signs outside of another Barnes & Noble.
Hmm.
Got arrested for that.
Hmm. Did you have to spend much time in jail?
No, they didn't actually lock us up, but had to pay a fine or something. But, oh well, what can you do?
That's the privilege. If you want to have your First Amendment rights, you have to pay a fine these days.
But like I was saying, back to the Democrat lady, we were out at this... the Air and Water Show, and they had the leftist communists were out there protesting because it was, you know, they were showing these military jets and everything that were flying around. The Blue Angels were there and all that. So these communists are out protesting. And this lady who was out there, big supporter of Barack Obama, or as Ted Kennedy called him, Obama bin Laden, or whatever he said about him. You know, she was, and I just got into discussion with her on politics. I actually have it on videotape, as a matter of fact. I might use it in my TV show in the future if I get it back on the air here. And she believed that the government should give people health care. I said, "Well, do you believe in the Constitution?" And she said, "Well, you know, that was written a long time ago, and times change." And I said, "Well, aren't there certain rights and certain things that don't change that are eternal? Like, for example, the right to life and liberty and property." And she agreed that things like that were constant. And
unless somebody votes away your property, then it's okay to take it away.
Well, I mean, she actually believed that you still had a right to property. I said, "Well, if someone has a right to health care, that means they have a right to the means to provide that health care, which in effect means they have a right to money, which if the money's not coming from them, the money's coming from someone else, which means they have a right to somebody else's money, which violates that person's right." Mm-hmm. And the light bulb went out. It went on, I mean, and she got it. Bang, she got it just like that.
Did she change?
I mean, I saw it.
Did she change?
I don't know. I never spoke to her after that.
Yeah.
But she got it. She said
she might be a flaming libertarian now.
She said, "You know what? You're really good. You're really," is what she kept saying. That was good. Like she never thought it out before. But bang, she got it like that.
What are we going to do with these liberals that don't think? I'm telling you, it's very disgusting.
Well, the same thing. Well, I mean, most people that are pro-choice, they just haven't thought it out.
Yeah.
You can talk to them, and then all of a sudden, they'll get it. I mean, I talked to a guy when I was working at Sam's Club in Nashville, mm-hmm. and he was pro-choice, and I talked to him about it a little while, and then left him alone. And later that night, I saw him. We were working third shift, and he says, "You know what? Now I understand why those pro-life people are so upset about this thing. And now I'm upset, too."
Well, good. So, yeah, I mean, working just, people's a bummer.
Yeah, he got it. So some people can get it, but they just are... you don't usually hear rhetoric that makes you understand it. I mean, everything is all this Republicans versus Democrats. And, that's why I like it when Walter Williams fills in for Rush Limbaugh, because he gets down to the nitty-gritty.
Right. Rush Limbaugh is a waste of time. Listening to Walter is always important.
Yeah, I know. I mean, Rush and all these other guys, most of the time, are just talking about Democrats versus Republicans, and mm-hmm. they don't talk about where the rubber meets the road is what the government has a right to do and doesn't have a right to do.
Our phone number today at the studio is 864-201-6955. That's 864-201-6955. That's only if you're calling the back line. You can always call our front line, which is 864-849-0277. That's 849-0277. We're in the midst of upgrading our phone service this month. For some reason, it takes MCI or Bell South or whoever it is longer, like 30 days, to get everything over to our regular phone line that you hear on our ads, to 244-8177. So don't call that number today. It won't work. But do call the 849-0277 or 201-6955 if you want to be on the show this morning. Be glad to hear from you. And let's read a quick story. Well, actually, you know, you're supposed to go to a break like 2 minutes ago again. You're overtime again. You've been so thinking about it.
I'll skip the break.
We just want to skip the break? Just go on through?
Why not? Well, we got 9 minutes left.
9 minutes? What kind of watch have you got? I've got 11 minutes left.
Fine. You can have 11 minutes then.
All right. Well, here's a story by Richard Peacock, special to the Washington Times, published on May 14th, 2005. Interesting story. Most Civil War readers, there's no such thing as a Civil War. It was uncivil. It was a war for Southern independence and at best a war of Yankee aggression.
I call it the War of Northern Hypocrisy.
Yes, that's good too. Most Civil War readers are familiar with Joshua Lawrence Chamberlain, a learned professor who left the halls of academy to answer his country's call and become the hero of Little Round Top. Few, however, recall the name of Basil Leno Gildersleeve, probably because it's just harder to remember that. A Confederate scholar soldier who was the South's Chamberlain. Gildersleeve served honorably, somewhat eccentrically, in the Army of Northern Virginia, and his wartime experience has left a permanent mark on his literary work. By any estimation, he was one of the greatest classical scholars that the United States ever produced. He was born in Charleston, South Carolina in 1831, the son of a Presbyterian minister who never had a pulpit but owned and edited religious newspapers, showing an early talent for learning and languages. Gildersleeve wrote that he had read the Bible from cover to cover when he was 5, and before he was 13 had learned enough Latin to get through Caesar, Cicero, Virgil, and Horace, and enough Greek to make out the New Testament. He entered Princeton as a junior and graduated 4th in his class in 1849. He studied classical philology in Germany and earned a doctorate from the University of Göttingen in 1853. just before 20.
You know, I just want to say it's amazing how much you can accomplish when you don't have a TV.
Isn't it amazing? And actually, he was probably mostly homeschooled, by the way. I don't think they had public schools to go to.
You don't
to
think
then.
He was getting that from a public school?
No, I don't think so. Not even back in 1830. He studied in Germany, earned a doctorate from the university. I read that already. Let's skip on to what I haven't read. Just before his 25th birthday, he began a 20-year career as professor at the University of Virginia, where he taught Greek and Latin. Considering himself to be a Charlestonian first, Carolinian next, and then a Southerner, he left no doubt where his sympathies lay, and when hostilities broke out in 1861, he joined the Confederate Army. But unlike Chamberlain, he did not take a leave of absence from his teaching duties. That's interesting. So you can be in the Army of Northern Virginia fighting, and then head. Hey, Robert, I got to run down to class right now. I got to teach Greek and Latin. And
do you have your responsibilities?
Yeah. So you ride on your horse real quick, get over there, and carry on. Anyway, I'll just read a little bit more, and then we're going to be done, because we can't read this whole article. But the University of Virginia, unlike most Southern colleges, did not close its doors during the war and struggled on, a student body made up of the maimed, the wounded, and boys too young for military service. Gildersleeve soldiered during summer vacations from the university. In successive summers, he served on the staff of the 21st Virginia Infantry and was a private in the 1st Virginia Cavalry. In the summer of 1864, saw him on the staff of General John B. Gordon. While carrying orders for Gordon, he was wounded when a bullet from a Spencer rifle broke his thigh bone and his leg was nearly amputated. Of that experience, Gildersleeve later wrote, "I lost my pocket Homer, I lost my pistol, I lost one of my horses, and finally I came very near to losing my life from a wound which kept me 5 months on my back." Well, interesting story. I never heard of a Gildersleeve. I'm glad somebody sent me this story from our research the illustrious research staff at the Tyranny Response Network. Interesting to know about Gildersleeve, and we'll have to remember him as time goes on. Well, since we didn't take a break, you took my last story of the day. What else have you got?
Oh, I got one here. We had a student who sued after his Bible study was banned. And apparently this kid in Knoxville or Knox County, at least, you heard about this?
No.
10-year-old elementary school student. He apparently him and some of his other buddies were having a Bible study during recess.
Mm-hmm.
And the principal, according to them, abruptly interrupted these people during their Bible study, demanded that they stop their activity at once, put their Bibles away, and from that point forward, cease from bringing their Bibles to school.
Wow.
This is during recess.
And this is in the South.
Amazing,
isn't it? The Bible Belt. The government school in the Bible Belt tells people what to go out. There's nothing that'll surprise me in the public school.
Well, the principal says she only objected to Bible study at recess, which school officials do not consider free time.
Oh.
So recess is not free time.
What if the kid brought pornography or something, like homosexual activist books or something like that? Would he be able to read that, you think?
That would probably be part of their curriculum.
Yeah, so it's probably.
But no, seriously, what if these had been black kids studying the Quran and they tried to stop them? I mean, they wouldn't. They're not consistent with this stuff. I mean, Christianity is the only religion that these public schools cannot allow.
Right. I wonder if they would have brought a Bible in another language, they could have hidden it well enough. Like my kids read Spanish, so they could have brought a Spanish Bible, maybe etched out they probably wouldn't be able to understand what Santa Biblia means anyway on the title page. But, you know, maybe they could just sort of etch it out so it looks like a big black book, like a textbook, and just sit there and read in Spanish. They wouldn't know. That's about the only way you could probably get it past them right now. That's them.
Could be.
Out.
Well, I think that we'll see what this does in court, but federal civil rights lawsuit.
Yeah,
but I would think court would shoot it down, but who knows nowadays?
Yeah, no, nothing would surprise me. In fact, the government school is just our foremost enemy. Southern Baptists that we read yesterday are trying to push something else through the convention. Said last year you wouldn't approve the resolution of Bruce Short to say to Southern Baptists, get out of the public schools. This year, at least, will you censure the homosexual activist agenda that goes on in the public school? So we're going to see on June 21st whether the Southern Baptists are going to be willing to do that. I think Bill Clinton's a Southern Baptist, isn't he?
Oh, yeah. He's a good Baptist man.
I talked to a Southern Baptist preacher once, and he told me that, he said, "John, you want to know the greatest problem that we have in the Southern Baptist Church?" I said, "What's that?" He said, 90% of the people that are members are not saved. That's a pretty serious problem. 90%.
Yeah, well, I mean, apparently a lot of them just, they sign up to be members. They don't even usually attend church.
Yeah.
So,
Well, maybe that's the problem then.
Who knows what their actual active membership is?
Yeah, who knows? But I was surprised. I was a pastor in a Southern Baptist church that told me that many members are 90%, 9 out of 10 are not even Christians. That's phenomenal. So why would they care about the public school? I don't know. Maybe they wouldn't. Maybe they like the public school. I still remember the Playboy Bunny, that Southern Baptist gal 15 or 20 years ago, made a big stink because she was a Southern Baptist and the first one to pose in Playboy. You know, so I mean...
Supposedly Southern Baptist, yeah.
Well, I think she was a Southern Baptist, member in good standing, and her elders refused to discipline her, or deacons or whatever they have.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, what would they... I mean, what kind of church discipline goes on nowadays?
Well, apparently not much in the Southern Baptist church, at any rate.
You hardly ever hear about any kind of, you know, church discipline nowadays. I mean...
Well, we have it in Reformed churches still. It's still there.
What do they do?
Excommunicate you, kick you out.
Hmm.
Yeah, they just tell you, no, you can't. You're not a Christian. You're blowing it. You're unrepentant and obviously not living the life, so you're gone.
Yeah, but they might lose some of that offering money.
They do. It's really troublesome when they do that, especially with the excommunicated rich guy.
Yeah, you shouldn't do that because that filthy lucre could.
It's tough for
some missionaries.
It's tough for pastors. You know, this latest article I've been writing, I've got a draft of it up on the website. Why, you know, the why and the what of submission. And what do you do when the Bible says honor the king? That's 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 17. Honor the king. Well, we don't have a king. Okay, so we don't have a king. Does that mean the pastor is completely irrelevant to us? Well, I don't think so. I mean, Jesus told us to go buy a sword, but I don't think any of us need to really buy a sword. We can use a gun instead. We can go buy a gun. We can use the principle. He tells me to greet Richie every day with a holy kiss 4 times in the Bible.
I'd rather you not.
Yeah, but if I just shake his hand instead, I just figure it's okay. That's just the principle's staying. So I think, you know, the idea of honoring the king can be, you know, honor the true government. But in our country, that's the Constitution and the Declaration of Independence.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, George W. Bush and the congressmen and some, you know, half-baked Supreme Court justice are not the king. We don't have to honor them necessarily. Jefferson and those guys just said kill them if they're bad, right? So, I mean, so, yeah.
Well, Jefferson said that the best reason for the people to retain their right to keep and bear arms is to, you know, stop tyranny.
Yeah. So, I mean, you know, I mean, it puts a whole other spin on it. I mean, culturally or technologically, things change, like guns, from swords to guns, from kisses to handshakes. So why wouldn't our form of government also affect how submission is interpreted? Because it has to be some change that's gone on between an autocratic Caesar to a constitutional republic. Has to be.
Yeah. We should be loyal to the Constitution.
Yeah, we're going to talk about that at our California Dreaming meeting at 1:30. I think I'm going to bring up that issue and see what people think. We talk about all sorts of interesting things. It's sort of a mini public policy, economics, whatever class there that we have for the few of the faithful who can get away at lunch or after lunch now at 1:30. Don't forget to go to the Carolina Patriots meeting tomorrow at 12:30 at the Prime Sirloin Restaurant. I don't want to be remiss in mentioning that. And go to the tyrannyresponse.com or .net if you prefer a website, and you'll find all the details of the different events going on during June and every other month for that matter. Rip and Richie just did a tremendous job of creating that page and has been maintaining it. Also, be sure to check out things like the Times Examiner. They're looking for advertisers. They need people to advertise now. If you can advertise or want a subscription to the Times Examiner, go to the website and find out the details of how you can get in touch with Bob Dill or Laverle over there at the Times Examiner. All those events and related media are available for you. And you can link to them. Also, you can find my articles all over the web now. People are linking to me everywhere. I'm going down even to Latin America. We have 267,000 hits on the policyofliberty.net website last month. We're well known in Latin America as well as other parts of the world here in America. And we're going to try to do the best to spread the combination of liberty and free markets as well as the Christian faith and their merger as far as we can. It looks like we're running out of time. Is that true?
Is it like not much time left?
Okay. You've been listening to Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben, guest host today, Rippin' Richie Williams, who's going to be having his own show at 4:30. Check that out on Monday as well, and the week coming up. And we're glad you listened today, and look forward to seeing you on Monday once again. Until then, God bless you.
Thank you for joining us today on Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben. We hope you will be with us tomorrow morning at 7:30 right here at the Tyranny Response Network for Christian Worldview with Dr. John Coben.
Hi, this is Dr. John Coben. Is it okay for a Christian to become wealthy? Did you know that 8 out of 10 Americans will face retirement with little or no savings, even Americans who had good incomes?